This morning we've heard from a book in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. Now a quick straw poll, ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone here. How many times have you heard the book of Jonah read in a worship setting? Oh, one hand's went up. Two hands have went up. Right, was this recently? Now, can I clarify? I'm not asking you if you know about the story of Jonah, because we all know the story. Anybody who's been to Sunday school knows about Jonah and the character who wasn't mentioned in our reading, the big fish or the whale. Right, forget about the big fish, forget about the whale, and forget about your Sunday school days. Don't forget them completely. I'm sure they were good. But right, well, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? When I looked at our lectionary readings, and I'm going to have to speak to my good friend Andy Latifa, because I don't know where he's got these readings from. They don't seem to be part of the actual lectionary. But I'm not unhappy about that, because in my own mind, I couldn't recall preparing worship with Jonah in mind. Like you, I know the book, I've read the book, I know the story, it'll be my middle-aged brain. I've probably preached on it many times, I just can't remember. But isn't it interesting that this day we've got this extract from a book in the Old Testament that is very small. You can read the entire book of Jonah in 10 minutes. And yet it contains this wealth of information about a snapshot in history that's all centered around this prophet Jonah. There's a line that echoes through both of our readings, actually, from Jonah and from Mark. In Jonah, it's explicit, yet 40 days. Yet 40 days. In 40 days' time, unless you change your ways, God will destroy the city. In Mark, it's more implicit. Jesus comes in the normality of everyday life. It's a normal service in the synagogue, and he gets up and he says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." One explicit statement, one implicit statement, yet both announce a moment of decision. Both declare that history is not neutral. Both insist that time itself has a moral weight. God's word breaks in, and nothing can remain as it was. In Jonah, we had everything in Nineveh, from king to cattle, responding to his word. In Mark, we have Jesus speaking to fishermen, going about their daily life, and they leave their nets. They leave their boats. Nothing remains as it was. Now let's stick with Jonah, just for a little moment. It's important for us to realize the background, the context into which these prophets were operating. Quite often we'll say things like Israel, and we mean the entire country at that time. But they didn't. The country was divided up. You had the north, where it was called Israel, and you had the south, which they would refer to often as Judah, or Jerusalem. It's like us saying London, but we mean the entirety of the south of England. We all know that the south of England isn't London, but we sometimes use it as a catch-all term. Sometimes the prophets would speak about Jerusalem, and they're obviously speaking about the city, but they mean the south. Jonah isn't. Jonah's a northerner. And that's a very different kettle of fish. Because the south was at least stabilized politically. I'm not saying everything was good. I'm just saying it was stable. I'll correct myself. It was stabler than the north. Because in the north, they had a much more multinational influence, because where they were geographically, it was a melting pot and a meeting place for all other nations coming through. So the prophecies were often flavored slightly different because of that. Now, Jonah really is not a heroic prophet. I say that, and I love Jonah. But where we arrived at a reading this morning, we'd missed out the bit where Jonah had received and understood God's message to him. Go to Nineveh, that big city, and tell them, unless they change, they're going to be destroyed. And Jonah does what all of us say we wouldn't do, but all of us probably would. I certainly would. We'd say, thanks very much, God, I'm off. And he runs completely in the opposite direction. He understands what the task is, but he thinks to himself, that's too great a task for me. Nineveh had a reputation for violence, and in the back of his mind, he's obviously thinking, well, they're killing their own people. What do you think they're going to do to me, who doesn't come from there? Strolling in like John Wayne in a western to clean up the place, telling them in 40 days, yet 40 days, unless you repent, this place is going to be leveled. So he bombards out. He runs away. And we know what happens. He ends up in the belly of the big fish. And then after that, he takes on the task. Jonah has fled. He's been in the huff. He has resisted. And yet, as we heard this morning, heard Heather read to us, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I mean, that alone is a gospel message. God doesn't discard the compromise. He reuses the reluctant. The mission doesn't change. God doesn't say, well, actually, Jonah, I've had a think to myself. You were right there. Let me adapt this a little. Let me soften it up a little bit. The message changes not one bit. God tells him again what the task is. But he doesn't write off Jonah. He doesn't say, look, you failed, that's it. Go, just do what you want. I'm ignoring you now. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He's given another chance. The mission is too important to wait for perfect servants. So we get a moment. It's almost of great comedy value. Jonah approaches this great city, and in his mind he's thinking, well, I'll do what I've been asked, but I know what's going to happen. I'll say to them they need to repent, and they'll completely ignore me, they'll laugh at me, they'll probably do terrible things to me. This is the end of my journey. And yet what do we hear? The entire city, from king to cattle, hears this message and says, actually, yeah, you've probably got something here. And they repent. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown was his message. No theology, no comfort, no strategy, just what he'd been told to say. And the unthinkable happens. The city listens. The king repents. Violence pauses. Even the cattle, as I've mentioned, are drawn into the drama of turning from where they were to where they could be. Now in our gospel reading, Jesus arrives announcing the same divine urgency. The kingdom of God has come near, he says, repent and believe. Then he walks to the lake, to the shore, and he says to men just working away, they're just getting on with their life, probably wondering, will I be able to pay the rent this month? Will I catch enough fish to feed my family? All the pressures of life, normal pressures of life, are on them. And he says to them, follow me. And they leave their nets immediately. Repentance in Jonah looks like fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Repentance in Mark's gospel looks like abandoned boats. Different expressions, same movement. Turning from one way of life to another. Then, of course, we hear that Jesus enters the synagogue and teaches with authority. These were not untaught men and women. They'd heard the message many times. There's nothing to suggest that they were all terrible people either. They're just normal people in the synagogue there to worship. But Jesus comes with authority. Not borrowed authority. Not institutional authority. He comes and he speaks and the people hear. Jonah's word saves a city. Jesus' word reorders reality. Both remind us that God's kingdom advances not by coercion, but by response. And this matters to us profoundly in our church today. We are not untaught people. As I mentioned last week, we're not starved of information, quite the opposite. We're saturated. Our phones are pinging morning, noon and night with information for us to deal with at that time. We're not starved of information. We're not even starved of truth. So often we can nuance ourselves into silence. Yet Jonah shows us that God does not require eloquence. How many emails or texts am I missing now? Because I'm not looking at my phone. That I would read and think, no, I'm not the man for that. I've not got the skill set. I've not got the experience. I'll delegate that out. Jonah shows us we might not have the skill set. We might not have the eloquence. But we don't need that all the time. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing to be eloquent or upskill. It means what we need is faithfulness. Our bard, say our, if you're a Scot like me. Robert Burns once wrote, "Oh, would the power, some power, the gift to gear us to see ourselves as others see us." Because Burns was often prophetic in his own way. Burns was a master at pointing out hypocrisy. Through his words, he could puncture self-deception, exposing the gap between how we appear and who we actually are. That's the task of the prophet. It's not prediction. It's revelation. It tells the truth about us so that we might yet change. Today, as I mentioned at the very outset of our service, is Holocaust Memorial Day, a day when we remember what happens when societies lose the capacity to repent, when power no longer listens, when propaganda can replace truth. The Holocaust, as we've subsequently learned, didn't begin with concentration camps. It began with words, with the normalizing of contempt, with a silencing of conscience, with a refusal to turn. As we remember, we're invited to think the remembrance isn't just about grievance. It's to recommit. Recommit to our own vigilance in society, to moral clarity. The courage to say, actually, no. When the tide seems to be turning away, that's neither helpful to us or any other social group. We are not called to shout at the world, tempting though it is on occasion. But we are called to speak truthfully within it. We are not sent to dominate, but to witness. The key word in those phrases, we are sent. Jonah was sent. The fishermen were called. We are addressed. The question is not whether God still speaks. It's whether we still respond. both main characters in our reading, Jonah and Jesus, in their own way said, the kingdom of God is near. Not abstract, not distant, near enough to interrupt our routines, near enough to unsettle our certainties, near enough to change cities and us. Yet 40 days, said Jonah. The time is fulfilled, said Jesus. Time is never empty when God is speaking. May we be a people who listen, a church that turns, a community whose words carry weight because our lives are aligned. May it never be said of us that we remembered too late, or spoke too softly, or loved our nets more than the kingdom of God. Amen. May the preaching of God's word be blessed this day and forevermore.